Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh.
3 o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show, live in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios and from Skipper Bud's Boating Supercenter, I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. This hour we'll talk with our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McAlvey. He joins us at 3:35. More of your calls right now at 799-1250 or email live at 1057fmthefan.com. As we ask you, what did that win last night mean to you? 799-1250 or email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. Let's waste no time and go to Dave in Bayview. Dave, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
Great win last night, guys. One thing real quick, though. Steve, you keep mentioning – it's Bama, by the way. You keep mentioning I've heard you say this multiple times now over the last couple weeks. We haven't seen Jabari and everybody together. Remember, Jabari was pretty much healthy all year last year?
No, he wasn't.
After the All-Star break, I mean, well
– right, exactly right. Like after the All-Star break when he was coming off the injury like Middleton is right now. Exactly.
Right. I just mean, but we did have him most of the season. He just played, not garbage, but just not up to his potential, remember? It just seemed tentative, and then all of a sudden...
Correct. And then when he came back and he averaged 20 points a night, we didn't have Middleton playing at his potential, and he was out. So that's why I'm saying you haven't had all three guys right now playing healthy, and you won't have that till you get into the new arena, if they're still healthy.
Good point. I just wanted to bring that up. But, yeah, the other thing is, great win last night, obviously. You know, everybody looked great. Looking fantastic. But my main concern is, I honestly believe that we cannot get comfortable. Next game, they're due for a couple runs, Toronto is. If anything, tomorrow afternoon's game is going to be extremely close. That's my prediction, at least. And, I think also Beasley and Terry and also, who else am I missing? The other vets, other cat that has a ring. Jeez, I'm drawing blank right now.
Dellavedova.
Those three cats right now are basically keeping the team together as one, happy, good, whatever, keeping morale high, much more so than Zaza ever could or Dudley, Bayless, those cats, O.J. Mayo, because these dudes have been there, done that. Those dudes have somewhat been there but never done that, got rings. So I honestly think that we're going to end up facing Cleveland. I will book it in at least six here. But I think once we get to Cleveland, it's going to be tough, obviously. LeBron's got the switch, so... But, I mean, yeah, I'm nervous about tomorrow, honestly. But if the crowd is there the way they were last night, oh, my. That was as loud as it's been, seriously, since I remember Rick Smith sucks chanting off, first round against the Pacers where it was Reggie sucks, Rich Smith sucks. It was echoing Raptors floor. It was insane. That's how the atmosphere was last night. I have not seen it like that since 2000. So it's been 17 years. We've been through it all. This just feels so fantastic. I love you guys. Thanks. Keep up the good work, by the way.
Appreciate the call, Dave.
Man.
Maybe
I'll
see you around Bayview. Yeah, that the atmosphere last night's part. And right after the opening intros, you were talking to some folks out here at Skipper Bud's. You could barely hear Gus Johnson after those opening intros with the Fear the Deer chant going on. And you didn't notice it until you pointed this out to me during your break. You didn't notice it until you saw a tweet just now that the Bucks played the Barney song.
Yeah,
Raptors intros.
I did not know that.
That's some expert-level trolling right there, man. That is outstanding.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that to the other team like that.
Apparently you can.
And that
And if you watch
then they went out there and played like Barney.
If you watch it till the end, I posted a video clip up on Twitter, and one of my followers pointed this out to me. If you watch that clip, and you can follow me at Rami is tweeting, he's at Sparky Radio, watch the full clip, and in like the last 5 seconds, you see Lowry and DeRozan sit down on the bench, and Lowry looks at DeRozan, and he goes, "How rude."
That's awesome.
That's exactly how you treat
how
the visiting
rude,
team.
He
that,
says.
That was hilarious. That was outstanding. Let's go to.
They weren't very nice hosts last night.
No.
They played that song and then smacked him around.
But you're not supposed to be.
No.
It's the playoffs, man.
Yep.
It's no holds barred. There's no sympathy in this game. Let's
That's
go
really
to
good.
Aaron on the north side. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. Hey, Sparky. How are you?
Doing good, buddy.
Oh, did we lose Aaron? That was quick.
All right.
Jay in Waukesha, you're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Yeah, being there last night, I didn't even realize that Barney song got played. The boos were so loud while the Raptors were being introduced, I couldn't even hear it. Definitely as loud as it's been since, 2001. I mean, every single shot felt like it was a game winner at the buzzer that we made, and that was just electric, and I'm hoping we can bring it again. Defensively, I know a lot's been said about our defense, and I just think that, watching the game, the foot speed and the rotation speed that we played with, I mean, you would have sworn, that we had six guys on the floor. I mean, even the help defense in the gaps when they were trying to penetrate, the arms and the hands just, creating loose balls and deflections was really, really fun to.
Hello?
I don't know what's going on with our phones. But
Joe, what's going on back there, buddy?
I don't know.
Apparently he's gone too. We'll keep taking your calls at 799-1250 and hopefully won't cut you off. I'm sorry, what was that you said just now, Joe?
Here, enjoy.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You played this?
Yes.
Oh, hell no.
No.
Dude. How do you get that play with your introductions and then go out and get crushed by 30?
Right?
I mean, how does that happen?
That should have pissed you right off.
And, that's a song that, get stuck in your head.
Right.
Right, so those poor dudes are out there with a Barney song in their head. No wonder they got killed.
Yep.
So do you play it again tomorrow?
Yes. Unless you have something funnier lined up. Turn that up, Joe. I want to hear this.
ABCs are 1, 2, 3s and how to be a friend.
That is some expert-level trolling right there. I love it. We'll keep taking your calls and hopefully not cut you off at 799-1250. Or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. One more segment of uninterrupted phone calls asking you, what did that win mean to you last night before we talk with Adam McKelvey at 3:35? We're the Wendy's Big Show. We're at Skipper Bud's Super Boating Supercenter, I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee, and back right after this. In the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. It's the Wendy's Big Show, live in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios, and from Skipper Bud's Boating Supercenter, I-94, exit Highway T on West Frontage Road in Pewaukee. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Asking you, what did that win mean to you last night? Bucks just hammering the Toronto Raptors in Game 3 to take a 2-1 series lead. Dial us up at 799-1250, or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com and get in before we check in with our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com, coming up at 3:35. Let's get right out to your calls then and check in with Santo on the west side. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Santo?
What's up, boys? Fear the deer. Fear the deer.
Fear the deer.
This is what it means to me. It means that the future is now, so they need to change those billboards next year. And I'm not saying they're going to, beat Cleveland this year, but when you see that we have two rookies starting in a lineup that just blew out one of the best teams in the East, not once, but really twice. That game won once they took control. Toronto never had a chance in that game. So two out of three games we have taken control of a game against a supposedly superior opponent with two rookies in our lineup. And like right. Brogdon last night, that guy was willing to give up offense to play defense without a problem. These rookies are so far over their level as far as how they think as basketball players. And Maker, not so much, but Brogdon, it just amazes me how much his cerebralness on the court and how he's willing to give up offense or defense, and he knows when to make the big play, he knows when to take the shot. This guy is part of this big three, or I think it might be big four eventually, but I it just means the future is now, and I can't be happier because my oldest son loves the Bucks, and now he's finally able to celebrate some wins, and I'm taking him to the game tomorrow, so we're going to have a great time there.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I'll start watching this team again and think how great they are. Do you remember who the general manager was that put this thing together here, John Hammond? Just saying. I mean, he overcame all that Herb Cole stuff and all that other stuff that happened prior to him getting here. He's working with Jason Kidd to try to get this all done. I mean, that Jennings trade, that was his trade, right, to get Middleton and Brandon Knight. The Giannis pick, that was them. I mean, that was a home run. Nobody knew how good that guy was. Same with Thon Maker. That was him swinging for the fences, hoping they were right. Now, free agent signings or whatever, maybe that's more along the lines of somebody else in the organization. I don't know. But draft picks-wise, and he's done a pretty good job.
You know, it's funny, just as Santo is saying that the future is here. And I have been seeing some advertisements from them on, you know, pop-up ads on the internet or whatever that says the future is near or something like that. But I just came across this article on Twitter from Jack Maloney at CBSSports.com. Sparky, read the headline of that article right there.
Bucks looking like a team that could jump into NBA's elite ahead of schedule. How's that make you feel?
Santo's not the only one who's thinking that.
Well, I have no inside knowledge on this, but I don't think it's going to change the slogan probably as far as, you know, the future is now type deal until you're in the new arena. You know, I think that's when it changes. That first year of the new arena, 2018-19 season, I think that's when it officially changes. And then we see where we go from there.
I really wouldn't be surprised if, should they get there, because I'm done making predictions, should they get there, they cause some real problems for LeBron James and the Cavs and start putting some doubts in some people's heads as far as who the undisputed champion of the Eastern Conference is as soon as next year.
They have to do something against Cleveland this year, and they have to get to Cleveland first. So we'll see.
I mean, if they can make a run on Cleveland and make that series interesting, and then you get Jabari
they
Parker
have to
back,
win the Toronto series.
No, I know, but let's just say that they get there, and you can make a run on Cleveland and make that series interesting, and then you get Jabari Parker back during next season, and let's say Giannis makes another step in his development,
and Thon
makes another step in his development, and
Chris
Middleton is further removed from that hamstring injury and in better basketball shape. And Brogdon has another year of NBA experience under his belt. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but they could be a legit threat in the near future. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say. Let's get in Moses. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Moses?
You guys teed it up for me perfectly. That's exactly the topic I wanted to touch on. I want to, you know, take a step back and look at it from a macro perspective. And if you look at John Hammond, Sparky just mentioned it, he's absolutely the best GM we've had in this state since Ron Wolf. And if you look at the state of the Packers before Ron Wolf arrived, nothing like it looks today. And you can go back and that's, you know, ground zero of that rebuild of that entire franchise and look where it's at. I mean, you can see the Bucks coming to a point where they're the cream of the crop in the East, you know, just like you're talking about, Rami. And I was trying to sit and explain it to my girlfriend last night at the bar in Racine. And, you know, she's like, is this a big deal? The Bucks, you know, they suck. They're always terrible. I'm like, you don't understand. We have the best player potentially in the NBA, you know, 24 months from now, maybe, you know, 12 months from now. This is something where you want to figure this out quick because you're gonna wake up one day and Giannis is going to be like the Michael Jordan, you know, the LeBron James. Whereas, you know, the Cowboys, they were that franchise that, you know, came right before the Packers when Ron Wolf was, you know, installing, you know, Reggie White, Brett Favre, making all the right moves, just like, you know, with Giannis and Brogdon and Thon Maker and Jabari. I think that it's a perfect parallel that you can draw, and I'll let you guys talk from there, but I just want to know Sparky's opinion. Do you think this could be the start of something as great as what the Packers have, you know, the kind of momentum that they've built over the last 2.5 decades?
Thanks for the call. I think it would be better.
Take it easy, dude.
Rodgers has one.
Hold on.
Rodgers
has. Just slow it the hell down, man. What do you mean it could be better?
Oh, yeah.
It could be. You've had 2+ decades of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, division championships, Super Bowl contending year in and year out, and bringing home 2 Lombardi trophies. It's going to be better.
I don't care about all that stuff. Listen to me. The way I'm looking at it is the run that Brett had netted them one ring. The run that Rodgers had netted them one ring. What I'm telling you is I think the run that Giannis will have with this organization will net them more rings than what Brett and Aaron netted the Packers.
You're almost backing me into a corner of being rain on the parade guy and getting you so upset that you walk out of Skipper Buds in Pewaukee.
No, not at all. But all I'm saying is, and I know it's bold, what I'm saying is I think they can win more than 2.
Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7.
Because that dude.
How'd that work out?
That dude there, he's going to go bye-bye. And then who's the dude?
Well, apparently he wants to play with his son, who's 12 years old right now, played AAU basketball.
Hey, man, there's father-son league somewhere in this country. You can go play with him. You ain't gonna be able to walk by the time he gets
But you know what? Not to get way off track, but...
Yeah, well, that is way off track, what we just did.
No, I know. I forgot who it was this morning. Who was I watching? Oh, Max Kellerman on Pardon the Interruption. He said if LeBron wanted to, he could be a better power forward than Kevin Love. When LeBron loses a step and he's not the athlete that he is today and can't necessarily run the ball up and down the court and run a team and run an offense and do everything under the sun as far as a basketball player goes, I wouldn't be surprised if he just moved to the front court full-time and dominated in that way, because he'll still be big enough and strong enough and know the game well enough that he could do that. He has the size to be a power forward if he chose to do it full-time. You know what
Correct.
I mean? And that could extend his – I never thought about it until I heard Max Kellerman say it this morning.
Gary compared Giannis to Anthony Davis for the last, year and a half?
Right. But I'm just talking about LeBron, and I was thinking the same thing that this guy is going to be on the decline soon and will be gone not long after that. But I think if he wants to stay around long enough to play with his son, he could just become a completely different player, move to the front court full-time, and be a dominant power forward in the style of Karl Malone.
You know the more likely scenario is?
What's that?
He becomes the head coach and player. That's more likely
scenario.
I could
see that.
He dictates when he plays and doesn't play. He rests when he wants to.
Well, he already does that.
He's got an assistant coach that is his gray hair guy that's the vet, and he runs the show.
But don't you think he could do that? Don't you think he's
Yeah, maybe.
He's a good enough athlete, has the size and the basketball IQ.
Oh yeah.
To play that position full time when he loses a step?
Yeah. Yep.
I think he could be Karl Malone. 3 years from now. I think he could be Karl Malone.
I just don't know how the physical wear and tear would be playing in the post. Now, in this league, you don't have nearly as many post players as you used to, so the physical wear and tear won't be nearly as bad as it would be if it was in the 80s or 90s for sure.
Let's go to Bob in Oak Creek. One last call before we talk with our Milwaukee basketball insider. What's up, Bob?
Well, hi, guys. Hey. Earlier you were talking about the trolling that they did with using the Barney song, and they should do it again on Saturday. And he said, well, you know, unless they find something better, I'm thinking they should use the Dorothy the Dinosaur song from The Wiggles. Be better trolling. And
what?
I'll be there, so I hope to hear it.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. What, you don't like that? Do you not like the trolling of the opponent? Do you think you're poking the bear?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Now, man. I don't know if they're really a bear, but you're poking something. I mean.
Hey, careful.
I don't think they're a bear. Like, I don't think they could blow out the Bucks like the Bucks blew them out. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't think they could do to the Bucks.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
What the Bucks did to them last night. Yep. I don't think they have enough. Now again, I don't know if you'll see another game in the playoffs where Monroe doesn't miss a single bunny shot and Dellavedova hits both threes that he takes. And Monroe dunks in a game. I mean, there were so many things stars lining up last night.
What
for the
did Bucks. Greg Monroe? You never really gave me what his answer was when you asked.
He
him.
Said it's. I said he laughed and said, "I don't know, man. It's just 2 points. I don't see the big deal. Why I have to dunk as long as I, you know, score." He never thought dunking was a big deal. Meaning, he didn't say this, but the way I took it was kind of thought he thinks it's showboaty and the layup scores 2 points just like everything else, and that's just not really his deal.
A layup can get blocked.
Well, and you can miss a dunk.
Or
You can, but a
layup. Or you have a dunk block like that Ibaka block last night. That was.
But it's much harder, especially a guy of Greg Oden's size and strength. It's much
not
harder.
Greg Oden.
It's or Greg Monroe. I
Please.
Always do that. I
don't
know why. I know. It's much harder for a dunk if he goes up hard with it. It's much harder for that to get blocked than those little bunny layups that he does.
Hey, I don't disagree with you. I love to see that dude dunk more, but that's not his deal. That's why the whole bench and me went crazy when he went up with that dunk. He was like soaring through the air, man.
Yeah.
Whew.
Can you imagine what that feels like?
Nope.
There's one athletic achievement that I've never achieved.
And like never going to.
I've hit a home run. I've scored a touchdown, blah, 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 blah. I've hit a three-pointer. You name it. And obviously at a much lower level than what we're talking about. But the one athletic feat that I've never achieved, that I've always wanted to achieve, is dunking a basketball.
There's trampoline parks everywhere.
Why don't you
Go
shut
give
up.
It a shot.
Why don't you shut up? You just shut up. I'm going to do
it's
it.
The only chance you have. You have no chance.
On an eight-foot hoop?
Who?
Me.
You're going to dunk on an 8-foot hoop?
You don't think I could dunk on an 8-foot hoop?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But you're definitely not dunking on a 10-foot hoop.
No. No, that's out. Remember we had Tim Grover, trainer to the stars on the show?
He laughed at you.
And he laughed at me. That's
like I told you.
That's a guy
who's Michael Jordan's trainer.
Yeah, and I was reading his book at the time in which he said, you haven't failed at anything until you give up.
Yeah, well, he told you to give up.
Yes, he did. So I apparently failed at dunking a basketball. I would have loved to be at the BMO Harris-Bradley Center last night, but if there's one place to go and watch this game tomorrow or any other game in this series, if you can't get those tickets to the BMO Harris-Bradley Center, it's my favorite place in the whole wide world, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. And where is that?
The Magic Kingdom, Disney World,
oh,
Orlando,
man.
Florida,
no.
Going there in October.
No, it's hot and humid, and there are children everywhere just running amok. Not on leashes like they should be.
There are children running amok at your favorite place, not on leashes either.
Yeah, it's much smaller and it's air-conditioned in there.
There's places air-conditioned in Orlando.
Nah, no, it's Dave & Buster's in Wauwatosa.
I like that place too, though.
Flat screens as far as the eye can see. You can't turn your head without looking at a TV or a video game in Dave & Buster's. And you have great food and drinks on that menu, and they're always adding new items to that menu. I think I'm going to be at Dave & Buster's Saturday night. And then you have that awesome D&B Sports Lounge experience with three 161-inch screens and eight 75-inch screens. Giannis looks like life-size on those big screens that they have in that D&B Sports Lounge. And, of course, there's the Million Dollar Midway featuring the latest and greatest arcade games, including new to the Midway, The Walking Dead, and Zombie Snatcher games. Your favorite basketball team is in the playoffs, and there's no better place to watch all the action than Dave & Buster's. Your group can even set up a private viewing party and watch all the playoff action. Don't miss your favorite pro baseball team. UFC pay-per-view fights. Catch all the NHL playoffs with NHL Center Ice, and Dave & Buster's is an awesome place to have your company's special event for groups of any size. Heck, you can even do a Dave & Buster's takeover and own the whole place for an afternoon. Kids' birthday parties, graduation celebrations, you name it, they do it. Leave all the planning and details to Dave & Buster's, so all you have to do is have fun with your guest. Call Ben at 414-454-0100 to set up your customized special event. That's Ben, Big Bucks fan, at 414-454-0100. Set up your customized special event and talk some bucks with them,
Ben,
while you're at it. And mark your calendars for their annual golf outing to help raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, June 27th, Silver Spring Country Club. And Leroy Club. Butler has already donated an autographed jersey, just as he did last year for that golf outing, to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Is it a real one?
Yeah, it's a real one, man. You think he's handing out counterfeit? What do you think he is, Eli Manning?
Well, no, you have the authentic jersey, and then you have a replica jersey.
Get your group together and sign up.
I'm just asking. Do you know?
I'm pretty sure it's authentic.
How many of those can he possibly have?
He's Leroy Butler, dude. Have you seen? Never mind. Or become a sponsor. Just call for details or head on out to Dave & Buster's for
details.
He's
a real nice guy, that Leroy Butler.
And while you're at it, eat, drink, play, and watch sports at Dave & Buster's, Wauwatosa, Highway 100, just south of North Avenue. Brewers flying under the radar, but hot, hot, hot. We're going to talk about them with our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McKelvey, right after this on the Wendy's Big Show from Skipper Bud's Super Boating Center, just off of I-94 Highway T in Pewaukee and in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios right after this.
Yes, we are. We'll be the champs now. We're the best team in the league. No one can stop us. We're going to the finals.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McKelvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is, and we're the Wendy's Big Show live in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios and from Skipper Bud's Boating Super Center, I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee. Check them out at skipperbuds.com. Come on down here and check out the spring selection of clearance and blowout models. It's fantastic. New boat and motor packages starting at just $59.95. Buy a new boat and register to win luxury box seats for your Milwaukee Brewers at Skipper Bud's Boating Center, I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee. And speaking of those Brewers, you heard Big Voice Guy, our Milwaukee baseball insider from Brewers.com and MLB.com. Adam McCalvey joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Adam, how are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm good. Can we do this from a boat sometime? Can you promise me that we'll do that?
Are you a boat guy?
I mean, who's not a boat guy?
I'm not.
Robbie's not. Our promotions guy, Troy, isn't.
We were just talking about it. I have fears, Adam. Like, it seems like a great idea. In my head, I picture myself out on the waves. The sun is out. It's peaceful. But then I get out there, and if we go further than I can swim back to shore, I get sketchy about things, man. If stuff goes down, I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Well, what's going to go down? Is the boat going to just spontaneously sink?
He thinks every boat's Titanic, Adam. That's what he thinks.
Come on. This is not a very good promo for Skipper Buds. They're fine.
No, I know. No, but Adam, I say flat out, it's an unreasonable fear. It shouldn't stop okay. anybody else. I'm
yeah.
just a crazy
well,
person.
I can't make too much fun. I'm freaky about heights, and I get all, you know, weak in the knees and everything, but I just, like, force myself to do it because the same. It's totally irrational. The reason you
exactly.
fall when you're afraid of heights is because you're afraid of heights.
Exactly.
So I think we need to get you out on a boat.
I have that same fear of heights. I need a Xanax and 2 Benadryl every time I get on a plane. So I have plenty of irrational fears.
I know what else is irrational. What? Eric Thames' numbers. Those are irrational. that doesn't make much sense either, Adam.
Six homers is his current pace. 76.
Yeah, that's not bad. Right. But you have the whole Lackey wink-wink thing. Then Bosio goes on the score in Chicago yesterday, and it says that, well, you know, he wasn't this big when he was here the last time in Major League Baseball. He's doing things that Manny Ramirez, Ken Griffey, and Barry Bonds did. And, yeah, you kind of got to scratch your head. Now, look, me personally, I look at it and go, maybe he learned some stuff when he was in South Korea. Maybe he learned how to hit a breaking ball. Maybe he changed his batting stance and changed some other things. Maybe that's why he's better. Why does it have to be the PED jump right away? Is it because we have Ryan Braun on the team we have to go there?
I think we just – this is what people do. They go there too quick. I agree. This is weird. I don't – honestly, I saw the station's tweet about Bosio, and my first instinct was that has to be out of – that has to be totally out of context.
Direct quote.
No, he was actually talking about it, and he was talking about Eric Thames. That shocks me because he's Brewers through and through.
Right.
He loves the Brewers, and it's very weird. It's a very weird thing. I'm actually interested in your guys' opinion on, you know, me, you, well, whoever you guys have down here yesterday and today. Is it our responsibility to go to Eric Thames with this stuff and ask him about it?
Yes. Absolutely. Because it's a story.
Well, it's a story because someone's wink-wink nod-nodding. Every time someone does that about any player, that player is supposed to stand there and have to answer questions about it. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm saying I'm legitimately torn, and I'm not
okay.
sure how to handle this.
I'll give you this, and I don't know how many people follow J.P. Breen on Twitter or not, but earlier today he threw out like 9 tweets in a row, and he literally – broke down the difference between Thames now versus Thames the last time. Batting stance,
Sparky.
How he swings, everything, right? Well, hold on a second. So he breaks all of that down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you just go to Thames and be like, hey, man, guys in Chicago are doing this wink-wink things about they don't understand how you're so much better than you were the last time, how much bigger you got. You know, what has really changed? Since the last time you were in baseball to now, what have you changed personally?
We've been doing tons of those stories.
Then you've done your job.
Since the start of spring training.
Oh, well, then you've done your job.
The meditation is a huge part of what's different about him. The way he handles failure is huge. The fact that for 3 years he faced, you know, a pitchers that, you know, sort of worked off breaking balls versus working off the fastball. He's just a better, different hitter and has a different mindset about hitting than when he was here the first time. I think that's been well covered. I just am uncomfortable with the idea that anytime someone somewhere else goes wink, wink, nod, nod, that the guy who's the subject of those comments is supposed to stand there and have to answer questions about it. I don't think that's particularly fair when there's nothing to go on except, you know, someone's, you know, what John Lackey said when he was upset about giving up a homer and losing a game.
I have a point to make and a question to ask for both Sparky and Adam when it comes to this Eric Thames thing. First, my point would be, growing up a Cubs fan and everybody assuming Sammy Sosa was doing steroids for a while, and I guess you could call it being in denial myself, I would point to all the changes Sammy Sosa made to his stance and his swing and his approach to the plate before the cork bat. You can make those same arguments for Sammy Sosa. It turns out there's a failed test out there, so you can't necessarily chalk it all up to a change in a stance, a swing, and an approach, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, Sparky, I'm not one to accuse anybody of anything without some sort of smoking gun.
But so if Adam comes to Thames, all Thames has to do is say, hey, if I fail a drug test, then y'all can come at me. But if I don't fail a drug test, tell them to go mind their own business.
Right.
I mean, that's the end of the comment,
so now,
and we move on.
I agree with you.
Now we're just perpetuating this story further versus just letting the Cubs say what they want to say after they were upset about a guy going off during a three-game series. Now we're adding the story another day, and we're putting it out there.
All right, Adam.
Now people are saying, well, look, he's talking about this, so why is he being so defensive?
All right, what would you do, Robbie?
He can't win.
I would, if I were in your shoes, Adam, and you asked us, I'm not here to tell you how to do your job, but you asked us our thoughts on this, I would say to him, have you heard these nod-nod wink-winks that people are making?
I'd show him Bazio's quote.
And what's your reaction to it? Or just show him the quote flat out if you have it printed out.
I will tell you that I put the opportunity – my one thing I think is that if he or any player who's the subject of this kind of talk wants to say something back at this, they certainly deserve a platform to do so.
Absolutely.
And that opportunity was extended through the club. If he wanted to say something, I'm more than happy to sit down and write what he has to say on this topic. But I'm not certain. I'm just saying I'm uncomfortable with the idea that anytime someone makes a comment like this any player, that player sees a crowd of people waiting at his locker and he has to answer these questions about something that just kind of came out of thin air.
Well, I think that's probably
very fair to me.
I think that's probably the most fair way to do it, is to go through the team and say, hey, these things are out there. Would Eric like to respond to them? I think that's probably the right approach to take.
Yeah, that step was taken.
Okay, now my question that I want to –
Can I talk yet, or are you still done? You still talking?
I told you I had a point and a question. You never let me get to the question. Calm down,
sorry.
Dude. We have time.
Well, I wanted to talk about things too, but go ahead.
My question is, isn't this the same thing that people did to Jose Bautista a few years ago, and probably some of the same people – that are upset that we're now doing it, or that certain people are doing it to Eric Thames? Adam, isn't this what happens every time a guy has a season that's head and shoulders above and beyond what he's ever done on the major league level before? Fair or not, I think a lot of Brewers fans are upset that now it's their guy who maybe has to answer these questions, even though they were raising the same doubts 3 years ago when Jose Bautista came out of nowhere and threw up a 50-plus home run season.
Sure, and maybe there's a broader statement there about where we are as a society, right? And how we react to people who have success, whether it's in sports or any other field. There always does seem to be a segment of the population that wants to bring that person down a notch, you know, find a reason to knock that success instead of just appreciating the success for what it is. So maybe there's something broader going on here. Or, you know what, honestly, maybe not. Maybe the Cubs are just ticked off that this guy comes back from 3 years playing in Korea and he had a monster series at Wrigley Field. Maybe they're just a little hacked off about that.
Sure.
Let's talk about a roster move that was made today by the Brewers, Adam.
Okay.
Kirk, can you tell everybody what it was?
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I will tell you what it was. Kirk Neuenheis is out, designated for assignment, and they brought in Brent Suter to be a lefty in the bullpen. That bullpen was, the Cubs. Credit those hitters, man. They were really tough on Brewers pitchers for three games, and they won a game, obviously, especially the series finale. They won by just grinding out long at bats. It put Council in a situation last night where he had to piece together a game with the pen, and they bring in Suter to fortify things a little bit, and it comes at the expense of Neuenheis, who had their best OPS at Miller Park last season. He had a better OPS at Miller Park games than Ryan Braun did. But this year he just wasn't able to do it off the bench. It just didn't happen. Three for 25, 15 strikeouts. Look, I get you're not going to hit 300 off the bench, but that just wasn't working. They brought up the bullpen arm, and now the next move is Garza, and I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if it's rotation, bullpen. I think they're still kind of talking about it and reading what happens in these next couple of games and base the decision off that. I don't know how he's going to fit.
So going forward then, do they just go with what they have for the outfield and nobody suspects another outfield move coming anytime soon then?
Well, I don't know. I mean, now they have an opening on the 40-man roster, and we've seen David Stearns fill those openings with roster moves, or with waiver claims, rather. So if a center fielder comes available on the waiver wire, you know, I think the Brewers would be interested, because right now they have Keon Broxton, who's struggling bad. And Craig Counsell had some, you know, all those comments the other day. If people missed it, I'd suggest going through the stories on Brewers.com. There's a really good explanation from Craig Counsell about why he thinks it's important that they stick with Keon Broxton. So I think Broxton's going to continue to play. But if he does need, you know, a spate of games where he just needs a mental break to try to reset things, their center field options now are thin. I mean, it's the guys that are here. It's Hernan Perez. It's Nick Franklin. Maybe Domingo Santana. None of those guys are really center fielders. So you're costing yourself a little bit on the defensive side. And I don't know that the Brewers really want to do that. They admit they were bad, pretty bad defensively on that opening homestand. And one of the reasons they played a lot better on the road, besides Eric Thames hitting six home runs every night, was that they played really good defense. And I think they feel like they're a much improved defensive team today than they were during those opening games at home against the Rockies and Cubs. I don't think they want to really punt on a key position like center field and just sort of piece it together. So I think that it will be a position that they look at.
I think there are a lot of Brewer fans right now screaming at the radio, Adam, what about Lewis Brinson?
No.
What's the
no.
deal with service time and when they can call him up without getting all screwed up?
Okay, without getting too technical, the bottom line is that if you call up a prospect before late May, early June, the date varies from year to year.
Okay.
You risk making that player a super two player. You risk giving him too much service time now such that you lose an entire year of him later. That's the bottom line. So if the Brewers call up Lewis Brinson today, you are prepared to lose an entire year of him after, you know, when he gets to 6 years of big league service.
And that's why teams don't do it.
Yeah, it's not worth doing. So they're going to be patient with this. I don't think they're going to call him up early. I think they're going to be patient with it. I'd be surprised if that changed.
Talking with our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com here on the Wendy's Big Show. What about Brett Phillips? I know he had a big game earlier this week. He can play center field. Is that somebody who they might consider calling up before that date you just talked about?
I think with Brett Phillips, they want him to play in the minor leagues a little bit. Remember, he did not have a good offensive year last year, and this is an opportunity for him going to AAA and playing with that good group of outfielders. I think they're going to want him to hit in the minor leagues for a little while. So I think I'd be surprised at that too. I think if they do add, the much more likely scenario is a pickup, an outside pickup. And you know, or the other guy that we never talk about is Kyle Wren.
All right.
Yep. He was in their top 30 for a little bit. And, you know, he's a good player. He's at least a good AAA player. And I don't know if that's his ceiling or if he's one of those 4A type guys. He hasn't been given an opportunity yet. But he has been a really good player at the upper level of the minor leagues, a useful extra outfielder, and I think he'd be an option as well.
And that's Frank Wren's kid, right?
It is, yeah. Who, by the way, has been here a little bit. He's now with the Boston Red Sox, an advisor, and he's been here scouting, which raised, you know, you always look in the stands during BP and see which scouts are here, but I've been educated that often those guys will go to the domes because they can get games, they're not going to get rained out, and they can do some of their coverage. In other words, you know, they just have to see a certain number of players, get some reports on the books. But, yeah, he was here the first week for those Rockies and Cubs games.
I got one other one for you. How are you feeling on Davies right now as far as where he's at?
He is a really tough one to figure out. remember, he started poorly last year when he came up. He had three poor starts.
Right.
Then he really got it together, got going. Now, last night was start number four, so if he could have, you know, turned that corner again, you could have pointed to history and said, okay, here he goes in the right direction. It didn't happen yesterday. He is just – it's just command with him. It's always easy with Zach Davies. He's not going to blow anybody away, so he's got to spot the fastball. That's where it begins. He's not doing that, and he's falling behind, and he's not able to get to that pretty good secondary stuff, especially the changeup, because he's not in a count where he can use it effectively. So I don't know whether they just continue to work it out here in bullpen sessions and try to work through it, or whether at some point you do send him down and try to work it out. I'm sure that option is on the table at some point, because he's a guy who they're pretty high on. He's young. And they want to do what's best to get him on track. So they just need to make a determination whether, like these hitters that Craig Counsell was talking about, where he made the argument that it's best to just let them play, let them swing their way through this, is it likewise the best thing to let Zach Davies sort of throw his way through this, or is it best to get him out of this situation for a little bit and go down somewhere and get going again? That's something that they're going to have to discuss. I think for now it's pretty safe to say he's just in this rotation. Garza is coming back, and I suppose it's one option is to send Zach Davies out, but I don't know. I haven't gotten any indications yet that they're close to doing that.
That's Adam McAlvey. Find his work at Brewers.com, MLB.com throughout the week right here on The Fan, including every Friday on the Wendy's Big Show, and we always appreciate Adam. We'll talk next week.
All right. See you guys.
Adam McAlvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. When you're ready to get into or back into the housing market, look no further than Great Midwest Bank. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to take the next step towards your new home. Coming up on the other side of a break, so just what does that big win mean last night for the rest of this playoff series against the Raptors? We'll discuss on the Wendy's Big Show in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios and live from Skipper Bud's Boating Supercenter, I-94, exit Highway T, West Frontage Road in Pewaukee. Check them out at skipperbuds.com. Wendy's Big Show will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.